many people here could go through all of the books of the Bible starting at Genesis? Not read through them, but I mean recite them. Who thinks they could do it? We got one, two, little bit. How many think it's important we should be able to, go through there? You know, I do. When the kids were little, there was a song. You sang all of the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the only time you're going to hear me do a solo, by the way. That's it right there. But I think it's important, and I think maybe starting next week we'll sing that song. We'll go through the books of the Bible. We'll get the Bible books down. And I was thinking about that. You know, we're looking at a minor prophet here, Micah. And Micah, as I mentioned, not only with Micah, but all of the minor prophets, they're only minor in that their books are small. They're certainly not minor in their message and what God has for us through these books. And as we look at Micah, he certainly did not live in a very good day. He did not live in a day when, you know, righteousness was ruling and reigning. Everything was good. It was a little bit like church camp. You know, it was just wonderful. I think it's a taste of paradise in church camp. Again, where you can go there and you can unhook the world and don't listen to all the bad news of the world and don't hear all the bad language of the world and all the bad jokes of the world, and you're just there with God's people. To me, it's a little bit like being in the kingdom. It's like a little bit of what we're going to experience in eternity, other than the fact that we won't have to listen to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ preaching, and it'll all be centered around Him for sure. But Micah lived in a day that, again, really wasn't a lot different than the day that we live in today. He lived in a sinful nature, a sinful nation. There was a sinful people, a sinful and a very corrupt people as well. And the sinful and corrupt people went right to the top. The leaders, various leaders, both spiritually and socially or economically, the leaders were corrupt in every way. And he looked around him and he saw what was going on. And I'm glad, as I think I've mentioned before, all of the prophets, all of the minor prophets in the Bible, other than Jonah, give us a picture of a future kingdom. And that future kingdom is the millennium, the future day when Christ will come and set up his kingdom on earth. Now, Micah's going to look beyond all of the problems of Israel. He's going to look beyond all of the sin and all of the debauchery and all of the things that were going on, and he was going to look forward into that wonderful, glorious day when the millennium, when God's kingdom would be set up on earth. And folks, I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? I'm looking forward to when God is going to set up that kingdom. Now, there's a lot of promises here in the Bible, and I want to say this. There's a lot of people out there that are really getting hooked on this anti-Israel bandwagon. I know wingnuts like Steve Anderson and others, they hate Israel, and they don't believe that God has any place for Israel in his future economy. And, you know, talking to one of the preachers there at the church camp, you know, and just talking about the numbers of scriptures that clearly and unquestionably show us, tell us that God is going to deal with Israel again one day. God is going to turn his attention back to Israel. You know, if you're going to spiritualize all of those verses, you'd have to Romans chapter 8 through 11, you'd have to totally spiritualize all of those. And then you'd have to go back to the Old Testament. You'd have to take verses like what we're going to see. And a lot of people that spiritualize or try to say, well, no, God is done with Israel. The church is replaced. It's done. It's out of God's economy. Never will be back in God's program. And it's over for them. And, you know, they look at what we're going to see today and they say, well, verses like these and all of the other ones and all of the other prophets in the Old Testament that are talking about Israel, being, first of all, being regathered together in their own nation, But when we think about that, all of that, what God's promised for them in the future, they say, well, that's talking about when finally, you know, with Jeremiah and all of those other, Ezra, all of those other ones, when they came out of Babylon and Assyria and they came back and they, you know, established Jerusalem again, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about a future kingdom. It's not talking about a future restoration of Jerusalem and Israel and all that. It's already taken place. Well, I've got a problem with that for several reasons. First of all, the reason that I have a problem with that, if you look at what we are going to see today in the book of Micah, and if you study these prophecies, they are not talking about the regathering of Israel 700 years before Christ came. It's not talking about the regathering in a time past. What we're looking at today is a day when the Bible says righteousness will rule and reign. There's going to be no more wars. There's going to be no more people taking arms up against each other. We're going to look at a lot of things that are not going to be part of this regathering or this building up again of the nation of Israel. That none of these things took place 2,700 years ago. And they're very unique. They're very different. This is talking about a different day and a different age. And when we consider all of the anti-Israel, first of all, the media is very anti-Israel. And again, as I mentioned, a lot of Christians are even kind of jumping on this anti-Israel bandwagon. You know, the devil hates Israel. Even today, the devil is against Israel. The devil hates Israel. And the devil does not like that regathering of Jerusalem, or of the Jews, sorry, in Jerusalem, back over 50, 60 years ago now. You know, the prophecies are coming true. And when we think about that, starting tonight, we're going to be watching a video. I'm going to break it up into three parts. And it's going to be about Israel's battle for Jerusalem and the regathering of Israel back into the land of their forefathers. And, you know, we think about Israel as a nation. You know, most countries in the world still don't even recognize Israel as a nation. And, you know, I look in the Bible as well, and I see battles like Gideon, you know. Gideon's triumphant victory, you know. Here was a guy who was called to judge Israel, and the Amalekites came in, and they were taken over, and they had a huge army, hundreds of thousands of people. And Israel had this little army of about 32,000 people, and God said to Gideon, listen, I want you to fight the Amalekites. And Gideon's probably thinking in his mind, God, listen, we've got a little army here, and we've got a lot of guys that don't know how to fight, and there's a great big army over there, you know, and there's just all kinds of, you know, experienced soldiers there and generals who know how to, you know, create strategies in war. You know, we're not going to do very good. And God said, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing here. God said, you know, you're right, you're not going to do good. We've got to cut this down a little bit. And God started cutting that army down, weeding a few people out, and it came down to 300 men. So they went from about 30,000 to about 300 men. And God says, okay, now you're ready to fight them. Gideon says, all right, let's sharpen our spears. God said, no, I don't want you taking spears. You take a pitcher, and you take a trumpet, and you take a torch, and you go, and we're going to do it this way. And I'm, you know, and everybody's probably thinking, okay, something's gone wrong here. I think the cheese has fallen out of Gideon's sandwich. You know, we don't go into battle with pitchers and torches and trumpets. And I think about that great battle. We know what happened. They never even lifted up a sword. They never the Amalekites fled. The battle was won. You say, well, Pastor, you know that kind of stuff doesn't happen today. It doesn't happen. Well, you know, what we're going to look at in that video, the Six-Day War, it's going to focus mostly on the Six-Day War. And here were an alliance, Jordan and Egypt and Iraq and a whole alliance of enemies came together to try to destroy Israel. And Israel was the same. They had no generals. They hardly had any planes. They had a few tanks and some BB guns, you know. And no experience. A very small army. And God miraculously won that victory for them. And it's incredible what God did. And so I said all that to say this. God's still in the business of doing incredible and miraculous things. God said to Israel, you're going back into that land. And you know, these people, Jordan and Israel, or Jordan and Egypt and all those other nations that didn't want them there, you know, if God wants them there, you're not getting them out. You're not going to move them. And, you know, God certainly has his hand of blessing on the nation of Israel. Now, I'm going to have to go quickly. That was just a precursor for the video we're going to start tonight. So here, by faith, Micah is looking ahead to when that day is going, when God is going to once again reestablish Israel, when God is going to set up that time when Israel is going to be once again, or Jerusalem, the center of worship in the world. And you know, when we think about our own problems as well, many times we get our eyes on the problems. And we get our eyes on this world, and we think, you know what? You know, one of the preachers at the camp there said, you know, you think about, you know, the world today and the way most of these churches are going, and sometimes you can feel alone. You can feel like, you know what? We're the only ones that are standing for the truth of God's word. When in fact, Elijah had the same problem. He thought he was all alone. God had allowed all of the other righteous people to be killed, and he was by himself. And God said, no, I've got 7,000 people reserved. And you know, we've got to remember that not only, well, yeah, we are a minority. There's no question about that. Bible-believing Christians, by the way, have always been a minority, even amongst Christianity. But we're not alone. And despite the fact that we may seem to be outnumbered, we've got to see the positives, and the positive here that Micah wanted not only the Jews to see in his day, but for us to see today, is that there is something positive. There's something positive on the horizon. And God's promises are real. God's promises will not fail. God's promises will continue, and we can count on them. We have hope. And that's exactly what Micah was looking at. He saw the promises of God. And when we see rightly, when we have that right vision, we will walk the right way. We will walk in the right direction as well. But if all we see is darkness and gloom, and we're a couple of weeks or whenever it is that marijuana is going to get legalized here in Canada, and you can look at all of these things that are going on, and you can look at all the problems. But if our minds are focused on all of those things, then, well, we're going to be gloomy and we're going to, you know, walk around defeated. But there is a day coming when there's going to be light, when there's going to be that righteousness ruling and reigning. And God gave Micah this wonderful promise. And God gave it to him to give to God's people so that we can understand that there's a better day coming. There's hope. And we're going to take a closer look at this promise, and it's a promise of deliverance. Can I get somebody to read verse 1 of Micah chapter 4, please? Okay, so in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, we read about a great mountain. A mountain is sometimes used in the Bible to describe a center of worship or government, if you will. And this verse is talking about the day when Jerusalem will be the capital city of the world, the entire world. And it is going to be the Mecca, if you will, of worship. And not that we're going Muslim or anything like that, but that is a real word, Mecca, but not their Mecca. just to clear that up, some people are wondering what I was saying there. So anyways, God's mountain there is going to be set up, and the whole earth, the Bible says, everyone in the earth is going to come, and they're going to worship at this mountain. Micah was told that this great mountain would be established, and the Bible says in your handouts there, in what? The last days. So there's our first indication as well. Not only did I mention that these things have never happened, the things that we're going to look at today, but the Bible says that these are going to happen in the last days. And even in the New Testament, we know that we are not in the last days. Or maybe we are in the last days. But the last of the last days. We know that this is future. The last days are the days that will be finalized by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this meant, though, and what I think it needs, even the believers in Micah's day and even believers today need to understand, is that when we think about this fulfillment of this being in the last days, it's not going to happen right away. And I think it was important, especially for Micah's readers and those immediately in his day, to understand, you know, they might have been thrilled to hear this. Well, God is going to establish righteousness in Jerusalem. The world, all people from all nations and everywhere are going to come, and they're going to flock to Jerusalem, and they're going to worship there in Jerusalem. And they may have been doing a hallelujah fit. Man, you know, get ready, it's coming tomorrow. Or it's coming, you know, next week, coming, you know, to a proverbial theater near you. You know, hang on. And Micah wanted these believers to understand, you know what, this is going to take place, but it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in your lifetime or your grandchildren's lifetime. It's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to unfold before this happens. But be reminded, though, as believers, you know, even those that lived in Micah's day, don't think woe is them because they died before this takes place, because they're going to be there. Just like we will if the Lord tarries his coming and we go into the ground. We will be there. God will raise us from the dead, and we will be part of this great day. And so there's still, even though it was going to be in the last days, there was still that encouragement to these believers that they would still be part of that kingdom. God wanted Micah to see something, again, even though it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. Micah knew how terrible man's government was. And, you know, this may be hard to believe, but, you know, we don't have the worst government in the world. Amen. I've mentioned several times as we've been going through the book of Revelation and different, you know, portions of Scripture, you've probably heard me talk about Nero, who was that government that Peter and others said that we were to submit to. Nero wasn't—he was insane. He was literally insane, and he tortured Christians. Really opened up the Colosseums for the Christians to be tortured and killed there for entertainment. Did so many other things. We don't have the worst government in the world. Maybe the worst government in my lifetime, but it's the worst government. You know, it's not the worst government in the world. Even in Micah's day, they had corrupt politicians. They had problems with their government. And, you know, I don't think I would be, in fact, I will say this, I know, I'm not wrong in saying this, that every government in the world since the fall of man has been tainted. Just like, you know, husbands, your leadership in your home is tainted. Just like your boss at work is tainted. And just like our leaders, our government leaders are tainted. All the self-employed people are looking at me right now going, I don't know. The leadership of the world has been tainted. And again, it's not going to change. I've said it before to most people here. I appreciate the former federal government that we had, probably the best government that we had in my lifetime. You know, and it was for the most part free of corruption. I think he did his best to keep Canada on the straight and narrow. He backed Israel, and we could go on and on and on. He was a good leader. But you know what? He was a sinner just like everyone else. And certainly, we find in Micah's day, his government was no better than ours was today, and in fact, maybe even a little bit worse. And so God wanted him to know that there was going to be a bright day coming for Jerusalem, and there was going to be a government set up that was going to be perfect. We were going to come under the authority of a benign dictator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this blessing was going to be not just for Israel as well. It was going to be for all nations. All nations, the Bible says, were going to go up to this mountain. Can I get somebody to read verse 2, please? Okay, so true or false there in your books, is this true or false? Only the Jewish nation will come to Jerusalem and be taught by the king and to hear his word. Is that true or false? False. Next question, many nations will come to Jerusalem to be taught by the king and to hear his word. True. Yeah, we see that. God once revealed his plan to Abraham many, many years ago in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Is God's plan for only the nation of Israel to be blessed, or is it for all the families and nations in the world to be blessed? We all know that promise. It was for all nations, right? All nations shall be blessed. Could you imagine people from Toronto or Washington or London, England or Paris or Berlin, Moscow, Havana, Cuba, going to Jerusalem to worship and to learn the will of God? Could we imagine that happening today? No. Has this ever happened in the past? No. Again, this has never been fulfilled. It's not happened. It hasn't happened in the past. It's not happening today. But according to the Bible, will it happen someday? Yes, it will. It'll happen someday. And when we think about peace on earth and goodwill towards man, can I get somebody to read verse 3 there? Okay, so again, according to Micah chapter 4 and verse 3 here, we learn that Christ will be the perfect judge, as I mentioned, that benign dictator, the perfect prince of peace, and in his world kingdom there will be justice, perfect justice and perfect peace. There's going to be no chaos and no anarchy, and I don't know, I heard one bit of news, and I don't know if it's true or not. I might get some confirmation here while we were at the camp, that there were gunshots in Wasaga Beach. Was that true? It was reported that, yeah, right down where the church building used to be, there were people shooting. So glad we're not there anymore, amen? And, you know, when we think about that, there's going to be a day when, you know, that sort of thing is not going to take place. Righteousness will rule and reign. Peace on earth. And when we think about that, He talks about certain things here that won't be found in that kingdom. What are swords and spears used for? Or what were they used for? War. You know, if we were writing this today, it would be guns and tanks and missiles and that sort of thing. They're used for war. What are plowshares and pruning hooks used for? Farming. Yeah, they're farm implements. They're farm implements. This amazing verse tells us that when Christ is king on this earth, the tools of war will be turned into tools of peace. And during the kingdom age, people will learn many things. Micah verse 2 there, the Bible says, "And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And look at this. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion. And there, again, that message from God, that the learning of God will all take place. But the one thing that they will not learn of is what? War. They will not learn of war. In fact, this is telling us that there will be no knowledge, no understanding of war. They won't hear about it. They won't get involved in it. There's going to be no training bases. There's going to be no military. There's going to be no generals. And in a minute, I was going to ask you about all those things that won't be there, but there are more things. So there's going to be no war. When Christ is king, will there be soldiers? No. Will there be armies? No. Will there be fighter planes? No. Will there be bombs and tanks and weapons and military schools? They will not be here. When you think about those things, what other things will not be here? Did you come up with any? Yes. Hate. Yes. Wickedness, sorrow, hunger. Okay, but when we think about maybe on a government level or on a social level, what other things will we not find? Okay. Police officers. Sorry, Tim, you'll be out of a job. But you won't mind, amen? Amen. What else won't be there? Will we have ministries of defense in the government? No. Will we have to have, you know, speed limit signs and, you know, all of those other things in society, you know, that we have set up to make sure that we're, you know, following the rules? They're not going to be there. They're going to be gone. There'll be no police officers. There'll be no courtrooms. Sorry, people's court is going to be off the air. I don't know if it already is or not, but it's going to be gone. So when we think about the world as we know it, the Prince of Peace, when he's in heaven, today, you know, today's world, the Bible says, and ye shall hear of what? In Matthew 24, verse 6 there. Wars and rumors of wars. That's today. That's the here and now. But this future world, the kingdom age, when that Prince of Peace comes to the earth, neither shall they learn war anymore. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. The world as we know it, the Bible says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in Matthew 24 and verse 7. The future world, the kingdom age, nation shall not lift up a sword against nation. The Bible says that today in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, that today we are to beat the plowshares into what? Swords. And your pruning hooks into what? Spears. In other words, today, in our world today, we have wars and we have the need for defense. And police officers and courts. In Micah chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We find a very different day. And as I mentioned, for those that try to spiritualize or try to say, well, all of these things is talking about the regathering of Israel and Jerusalem, you know, back, you know, in Nehemiah's day and all those things. No, that's not what this is talking about. That is not what was seen in that day. These things are very different from what the world has ever seen before. Isaiah talked about the same promise in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Remember, Isaiah and Micah were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. And they spoke about the same things. And during the kingdom age, everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and none of them shall be what? Afraid. And I think somebody mentioned that. There'll be no hate. Well, no hate, but I think somebody did mention that. There'll be no fear. You know, could you imagine walking down the street and you know, carrying a briefcase full of money or something and not having to worry about it ever getting stolen? Could you imagine not ever having to worry about your car being stolen or your house being broken into or getting mugged? Owners of stores don't have to lock the doors. it's going to be a wonderful day, an amazing day. There'll be no fear. And as they would sit under the private property, today in their economy, in their day, they would be afraid. They knew that the enemy, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, could invade the land and take over their property and carry them away from their lands as captives. But when Christ the King sets up his kingdom, these things will never happen. How do we know that the kingdom of peace will really come to this earth? How do we know? People have always dreamed of the day of peace, but it has never happened. The United Nations is always talking about peace, but they've never really done anything to bring real world peace. In the age of peace, it's going to happen. God is going to bring it. We really know it's going to happen. Look at verse 4 there in Micah chapter 4. The Bible says, "But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. Look at this. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." And I know when we went through the prophecy series, I mentioned this several times, but there are literally thousands and thousands of fulfilled prophecies that have already taken place. And out of all of those prophecies in the Old Testament, and we look at all of the ones that have already taken place, has there ever been a prophecy that has never happened? There are some that haven't happened yet, but you understand what I mean. They've all taken place. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament, whether they're the ones concerning Christ coming, His first coming, whether it was Israel, their original regathering, all those things were prophesied about the nations, about that, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar's image and all of those different nations conquering one another. Again, so many things there fulfilled. We don't have to wonder if what God says is going to happen in the future is going to happen. God didn't run out of money. You know, I guess we can't complete the project. God didn't go bankrupt. He didn't run out of power. You know, man, I got to recharge my batteries before I can make this millennial happen. You know, I just got to wait a little bit, get enough power to do this. Now, God's in control, and God's going to do it. And Micah made sure that these individuals knew that it was God. It was from the very, very mouth of God. It wasn't from his mouth. It wasn't from anyone else. It was from the mouth of the Lord. And in your handouts there, "For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." We know it's going to take place. Many of the people in Micah's day were idol worshippers. In verse 7 there, the Bible says, "And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, ever forever, or ever forever." And idols are going to be thrown away. And I think I meant to read verse 5 there. Verse 5, "For all the people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." And so again there, these people are going to walk in the name of their God. And of course, there is only one God. Idolatry is going to be gone. There's going to be no more worshiping of any false gods. They will all worship the true God. And we can also see that in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 9 and 16. And that regathering of Israel, look at verse 6 to 8 here. The Bible says, "In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forever, ever forever, sorry. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughters of Zion, unto thee shall I come, even the first dominion, the king shall come to the daughter of Zion." So again, the regathering, God is going to bring them together. We find this in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 to 16, and also Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31. Today, there are Jews living in Canada and Russia and all over the world. We've seen that regathering in Jerusalem years ago. They're there, but they're going to be brought together as a nation. And Micah looked far ahead and saw that the promise of God, his kingdom, was there. And it's interesting, He did say something in the middle of this. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now, dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shall thou be delivered. There the Lord has redeemed thee from the land, or from the hand, sorry, of thine enemies. And it's interesting that God mentions Babylon here. Now, for those of you that have been paying attention, who have we been dealing with as far as the captivity? Yeah, but who was in there conquering the land? The Assyrians. It was the Assyrian captivity. So at this particular time, the Assyrians were the world power. Babylon was just a tiny little nation. In fact, Babylon was renting land. They didn't have their own land. They had to rent land off the Assyrians. And so for Micah to stand before the nation of Israel and say, Babylon, remember, down the road, Babylon conquered Jerusalem. The Assyrians were there after Israel. But down the road, Babylon, that little tiny weak nation, is going to come and overthrow Jerusalem. And I imagine all the people went, are you serious? Like Iceland is going to take over the United States? Come on, seriously. But it happened. It came to fruition. God knows the future. God raised Babylon up for that very purpose, to defeat the city and overthrow the city of Jerusalem. And today, as I mentioned, the Jews have been scattered throughout all of the places of the world. But again, for the most part, that regathering during that kingdom age is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Just before the kingdom, many nations will come to Jerusalem to fight. We find that in verse 11. And in verses 1 and 2, during the kingdom, many nations will come to Jerusalem to learn. So we find the differences here. And God did tell the Jewish people that they would have all kinds of problems and all kinds of enemies. But he also told them that there would be an end to their problems. And we've got to learn from Micah. We've got to learn to see what God has for us. You know, all the peoples of the world will be regathered there. Or Israel will be regathered there. And things will certainly be different. We live in a day of problems. We live in a day of wickedness and sin, and where sin certainly seems to be the norm, the accepted thing in society. But we've got to look ahead to that day. Look to the kingdom. Look to the coming of Christ, when everything is going to be made right. And, you know, I'm thankful for Israel. Amen? I'm thankful for Israel. A person one time asked me, how do you know God exists? And, you know, the God of the Bible exists. And I said, I'll give you one word, Israel. Israel. How do you explain that nation? There's no other nation in the world like Israel. And as I mentioned, and as we'll see, the Six-Day War and some of the things that Israel has clearly seen the hand of God in keeping them there in that land, regathered in their nation and in Jerusalem. There's no other explanation but God. So let's love the Lord and let's look forward to that glorious kingdom. Father, thank you for this time together. Blessed as we go from here, and may you be honored and glorified. We'll thank you for Israel. We thank you for the promises of the coming kingdom. And again, may our hearts and our minds and our sight, may it see that glorious day when righteousness will rule and reign. We will have a government that will have no corruption. And the Lord, we're just grateful for your blessings. Bless the morning service in Jesus' name.